Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be David Holly. In this episode, we will be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham on the road against Charlton Athletic. We also have several subjects to get through before we do our preview. But before we get going, I always have to say hello to my co-host. First, David, how you doing, my friend?
Hi again, Russ. Hi, everybody. I think I was wrong the other day when I said I don't do religion, I do chocolate. I feel stuffed. I've had so much chocolate, you know. Too much chocolate. I'm going to have to run around the football pitch and tennis court even more now just to work it off, because today I've been sitting doing paperwork and watching with great interest the other scores in the championship, of course. And
yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit too.
That's right. So, yeah, a couple of them have been favourable for us, and the Rotherham one isn't as favourable as we'd like. But yeah, so I've been watching that. It's a lovely sunny day here again now in the UK, so hopefully summer is on its way.
I hope so. It's beautiful here in right outside of Boston, Massachusetts. It's you know, probably in the mid-50s. It's really nice. It's a gorgeous day here. But you know what? There's nothing more that I want to be doing right now, David, than talking Fulham with you. I'm looking forward to going through it. I do want to mention, because I did tweet out and I put on the Facebook page that Giannis would be joining us today. And unfortunately, Giannis is having internet problems. They're having internet problems, he just let me know, in southern Ontario. And if for some reason he can join us at some point, he will. But it doesn't look like at this point he will be joining us. But who knows what will happen during the show, because Giannis desperately wants to talk to us, David. He made that perfectly clear. He was looking forward to doing the show, and sometimes you have provider problems, and he's having that right now. So, unfortunately, Giannis will not be joining us, David. I know you were looking forward to talking to Giannis.
No, it was. I was going to deliberately mention Ipswich to see if he did his William Hague impression again.
Okay. Well, again, Giannis, if for some reason you can join us at some point, please feel free to. But before we do get going, I want to mention something, David, that was actually on the Fulham website this morning. And a very touching, powerful video. And I'm going to read it to you. What was on the Fulham website, and you can actually watch the YouTube video. It's called Rebecca's Marathon. And again, this is right on the FulhamFC.com website. You can also check out the video of Rebecca and Bob along with Sean Davis. It's a very touching and powerful video. But I'm just going to read it to everyone, because it really hit me hard. Okay, so this is, again, right on the Fulham website. Here's the article. It says, "This week, ahead of our match against Wigan Athletic, we're running a campaign to support Men United, the movement led by our national charity partner, Prostate Cancer UK, for everyone who believes men are worth fighting for. Prostate cancer is a disease that will affect 1 in 8 men in their lifetime. 10,000 men a year die of prostate cancer, and 300,000 in the UK are living with the challenges it presents. Lifelong Fulham fan Bob Williams has prostate cancer. His daughter Rebecca is representing the Whites in the Virgin London Marathon to raise money to help men like her dad. We've been following Becca's training and will be supporting her as she treads the streets of London on Saturday, April 26th. Everyone at the club is getting behind Rebecca's fundraising efforts, and you can too, by texting Fulham to 70004 to donate £5. And David, I just wanted to share that. I've watched the video, and it really hit me hard. And my heart goes out to Bob and Rebecca and their entire family. Cancer hits everyone in some way, and this one really hit me. You know, again, these are members of the Fulham family. So if you can donate, please feel free to. You know, like I said, you can go and watch the YouTube video right on FulhamFC.com. David, did you see the article itself?
I did see the article, and yes, I mean, I think sometimes these types of cancer get put on the back burner a little bit, you know. But prostate cancer is a real terror, a real danger. I mean, they're
Absolutely.
Getting better with all things, the treatment, but still, it's one of these ones that it's difficult to treat. And it's a scary prospect for men as we get older, like ourselves. And so
right.
Anything they can do, obviously, to help raise money and awareness for it and perhaps find a cure ultimately, fantastic. So yeah, I mean, if you can spare £5, there's a, you know, much worse things you could do with it. I mean, it's a good cause.
It's a wonderful cause, and that's why I wanted to open the show talking about it. You know, again, we're talking about the Fulham family, you know, at large, and also talking about a very, you know, a terrible disease, David. Like you said, it affects men around our age, and you know, it was a little bit of a wake up call this morning seeing that video, and very, very scary. That's all I'm going to say. But you know, again, I want to give so much credit to Rebecca and Bob, and again, my heart goes out to their family. All right, let's move on, David. Let's start the show. Let's get into this, and let's talk about the latest in Fulham news in the section I call Cudge Talk Quick Shots. And I saw this yesterday. The Daily Star had a story with a headline, an opening paragraph that stated this. This is the headline. Chris Coleman admits Wales' next game could be Kit Simon's last. Then the paragraph says, Chris Coleman has revealed June's Euro 2016 qualifier against Belgium could be Kit Simon's last as Wales' assistant manager. David, what are your thoughts about this? I read the article. I don't know if you had a chance to read the article, but basically it's talking about that this next qualifier could be the last with Wales for Kit. So I was curious your thoughts, and part of the reason is, if you read the article, we'll talk about how Kit wants to spend, you know, again, Chris Coleman, I'm paraphrasing, is saying that probably Kit needs to spend more time or wants to spend more time just focusing on Fulham Football Club. So what are your thoughts on this?
I think he shouldn't give up the Wales job in a hurry because he may well need it soon. I would imagine he's not going to get the chance to stay on as Fulham manager, so I wouldn't be too hasty with this one. I agree with the kind of overall sentiment, though, that perhaps you should focus on one job or the other. It's difficult to do two jobs, but I think this sounds a bit like a belated effort to try and save his job, really, coming from one of his best friends in football, of course, Chris Coleman. And for me, it's probably too late. I think the damage is done. I think we'll be looking elsewhere in the summer. So, Kit, you know, you might as well stay with Wales.
Okay, David. And listen, we're going to talk a little bit more about Kit in a few minutes, because I opened up a Cutters Talk Facebook question to everyone about Kit. And would he be the full manager when we open up the season next year? Next season, not next year, next season. So I will share my thoughts on Kit at that point, along with what the Fulham supporters had to say about that. It's very interesting commentary, David, from many of the Fulham supporters. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I just, you know, again, I found it interesting that like you mentioned, one of Kit's best friends in football, Chris Coleman's come out strongly talking about this. And I've also heard Kit talking, you know, in the press about his plans for the summer. So obviously his mind is on that he plans on being the full manager. And you know what? That's the right attitude to have. Only time will tell if he will be. But again, I just found it interesting that there was an article talking about spending more time just about Fulham Football Club. It'll be interesting to see if that, you know, if Fulham give him that chance this summer. All right, David, let's move on. And I saw this one. This one actually made me chuckle. A few days ago, Tribal Football had an interesting article about former Fulham striker Marcello Trotta. In the article, it mentioned that Trotta could have interest from Juventus, according to his agent. Trotta currently plays for Serie B club Avellino. I have to ask you, when I read this, I'm starting to think, what is going on? Now he's having interest from Juventus, and I'm going to ask the question. Did Fulham make a mistake with how they handled Trotta, considering he apparently might have interest from a club like Juventus?
Well, if one manager had discarded Trotta without a chance, I would be more minded to agree. But we have a successor to managers, of course. He was there for quite a long time, Trotta, and no one fancied him. No one fancied him, not really. No one really wanted to give him a chance. So, for me, I would tend to go with the majority and say, well, you know, one manager could be wrong, but I don't think all the managers are wrong. And, yeah, this could be purely an agent, I suppose, creating a bit of a story, trying to, you know, stir up a better contract or something for Trotta. I mean, has he actually really been producing the goods in Italy? I don't know. I haven't kept tabs on it, to be honest with you. But I haven't heard anything mentioned about him until now. So has he been doing it? I probably doubt it. And so I'm going to take this all with a pinch of salt and say, no, I mean, it was time for him to move on. No one wanted to give him a chance. So, you know, he moved on. And if he's doing okay, great. But he's playing at a lower level at the moment, and perhaps at a lower level, I don't know, in his native country, he's doing okay and he's comfortable. Perhaps at a higher level, he would struggle, perhaps. So, you know, he never got the chance to show whether he could do it in the Premier League, but no one wanted to give him that chance. So they obviously felt, you know, that he wasn't really up to the job.
Listen, it's very interesting because, you know, I was doing a little research on Trotta. I believe he scored some goals in Italy, David. So I guess it's understandable. I think he's also played with some of the Italian teams. You know, it could be under-21s of some sort. I believe he might have featured. So, you know, again, it could also just, like you mentioned, be an agent trying to drum up some business for his client. But I just, you know, again, to hear the name Juventus being mentioned, you know, definitely makes you think, you know, like what, you know, what's going on here. But you bring up a good point. It wasn't just one manager. There were several managers that never really gave him that opportunity here, so that, you know, again, what was going on? Was he just not good enough? You know, because it wasn't just one manager, like you mentioned, but it was several. So how can you really blame Fulham? Because several managers passed on him. So we'll see what happens. I just found it interesting when I saw the team mentioned, you know, as possibly having interest as being Juventus. That just shocked me a little bit. All right, David, let's move on. Let's go into the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable. We have one fun one and one serious one. Let's start with the serious one, because we were just talking about Kidd. I asked this to our listeners of Cottage Talk. Get their thoughts on Kidd. You know, definitely going to get yours. I'm going to share mine now as well. And here's the question. Do you think Kidd Simons will be the full manager when they play their first match of the 2015-2016 season? I think you've already made it pretty clear, David, you don't expect them to be.
This could be a really short show, actually, Russ, because it's a very simple answer. Yeah, no is my answer. I don't think he will be manager.
Okay. Let me ask you this, the argument, and I've actually seen the argument, you know, on Twitter a little bit, you know, defending Kidd. Well, we've had so many changes of managers. It's been a turnstile of managers. You know, shouldn't he have more time to build his own team? Because, again, this is still a good amount of the players, our McGass team. What are your thoughts on that before I go to the Fulham supporters?
To a point, yes. But, you know, he was happy, remember, or supposedly happy in the transfer window, not really to do much. And it's only latterly that suddenly, you know, we started in the emergency loan window, as they call it, picking people up. And I don't know if that's an influence of Mike Rigg or something else. But, you know, he had that transfer window, which he did nothing with. He was apparently comfortable with the squad he had. So, yes, he could build his own squad, but he didn't want to, okay? Perhaps there weren't the people available that he would want to get in, you know, or enough of them. But I don't know. It just, we haven't moved forward, have we? And now, you know, you talk about Twitter, and I see Tony Khan has been getting an earache from a lot of fans now. And
most, yes, he has.
Most of it's been semi-constructive that I've seen. It hasn't been just like abuse, you know, your dad is rubbish. But, you know, most of it has been people trying to make serious debate. But I would have thought that a lot of voices will be in the Khan's ears about this now from the fans, and you know, the natives are restless, etc. And all of these things will put pressure on for there to be some sort of change. And we've had all this speculation about, you know, who we might be looking at, you know, Bruce McCarthy, you know, even Sam Allardyce, you know, Warburton from Brentford, among others, even Kerbishley, who's there now. And so... you know, I really can't see him staying. I know what you're saying, and I agree with the principle that, yes, we've had all this chopping and changing, and people need to develop their own team, but it just, there has to also be a finite timeline. And yeah, at this minute, we don't know for certain which league we're going to be in. Obviously, the as the weeks go on and 7-point gap is there still at this minute, and it could be more after tomorrow, then, you know, our chances of staying obviously are much greater. And or that helps Kit. I mean, obviously, if we were to be relegated, and I know it's, you know, not odds on, but if we were, it would have to be the end of him. Would you not think so? Would he would go most certainly.
Oh, if we got relegated, I totally agree with you on that. You know, but listen, again, we could talk about relegation and listen, you know, yes, some of the results went in Fulham's favor today, but a fan actually pointed out something to me, David, and I totally agree with her. She's actually been a Cottage co-host once a few years ago, Lydia Campbell, you know, basically tweeted out, David, and again, this all goes into talking about Kit, that basically, I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the tweet in front of me, she's talking about the fact that she doesn't want Fulham basically to back into safety, like I'm saying. I don't want them to back into safety. I want them to, you know, I don't want, you know, the other teams just not to win. I want Fulham to win to force safety themselves. And I think that's very important right now. And that also, I think, is going to affect Kit's future. If they back into being safe, which could happen, honestly, it very well could happen that the teams below them don't get the results that they need. And Fulham don't really take care of business the way that they should, but they hang on. You know, that's the part of this that's very frustrating, David, is that we're in April. I was thinking about this. We're in April. We're still talking about relegation. Do you know how much that irritates me? We're in April. We should not be talking about this, but we have to talk about it because it's not over yet. 7 points, yes. We're in decent shape, but not all the way there yet. And it's very frustrating. And the way that I'm looking at this goes back to what I'm talking about with Kit, my thoughts on Kit, is I personally believe that the next 6 matches are going to determine his fate. What happens, David, if they win 3 or 4 out of 6? If they beat Norwich at the end of the year, they beat Middlesbrough, what happens then? And that's why, you know, again, you know, I'm looking at this. I'm trying to be objective. I want Mr. Khan to do what's best for Fulham Football Club. Let's start there. If he thinks replacing Kit at the beginning of the season for next season, I'm there with him. If that's what he thinks is the right thing to do. But my question is more about, do I think he will be the manager to begin the season, David? And I actually think he will be. And the reason why is part of the things I've been reading in the press. He's obviously, again, I'm just getting these feelings that he's going with the plan, which he should, that he's going to be the manager. And that's the right attitude to have. And then I'm just thinking about, you know, will Khan pull the trigger again, David? Will he do it again? You know, if they end the season, say, strongly, would he make that change? I don't know. So I'm actually leaning towards more that Kit will start the season as the new full, as the full manager to start the next season. Do I think that's the right move? I don't know at this point. You know, again, I don't know. I want to see how the rest of the season ends, but I think it's worth discussing at this point. You know, do you think he will be? And something strange tells me he will be, David. You still there?
No. I just don't think that the Khans can afford for, you know, this slide to carry on. I think something more drastic will happen.
Okay.
And you're right. You know, if we suddenly have a good run now, it's always like anything, isn't it? You go to a football match and it's rubbish for 89 minutes, and you pop up and you score a last minute winner, and you come away feeling excited by it. And you watch a match where you score in the first minute and the rest of the match is rubbish, and you win 1-0 still. It seems a lot worse than the other scenario. And you know, in the same way, sure, if we had a good run at the end here, some of the other stuff may get brushed under the carpet and forgotten a bit. But
right.
that's a big if. We've got to
right.
go to,
no.
you know, we've got Middlesbrough at home. We've got to go to Norwich, of course, or whatever, however we say it. I can't even remember how we say it anymore, but yeah, we've got to go to Norwich, of course. It's going to be really difficult. And we'll probably you know, we're going to stuff up against Wigan and Rotherham for all I know. You know, these things could easily happen. If we beat Wigan and Rotherham, we're safe. We've got to be safe, haven't we, I think? But
yes.
You know, it's...
Yes,
it's
yes, and you're
that
forgetting that we're also going to Blackpool. And, you know, and listen, there's an opportunity to get something in the match tomorrow. You know, again, Charlton is a decent side. You know, they're not a bad side, but they just lost to Millwall. Keep that in mind. But Charlton were also playing with 10 men. That's another thing that you also have to take into consideration with that. But the reason why I bring this up, David, again, I'm just trying to think about, trying to put myself in the shoes of Mr. Khan. I think he's probably going to weigh these last six matches and see how the season ends. And also, you know, weigh the fact that what I just said, you know, Kidd has not had his full roster. It's not his team yet. So how do you fully judge him? And, you know, again, listen, I think it's easy to judge the results. The results have been poor. But you also have to take into consideration, is it his team yet? So, again, there's a lot going on here. That's why I don't think it's cut and dry either way. But I'm leaning towards that he's going to be there. But, again, we have to see how the results happen. And I'm not saying that I want him to be the full manager. I just have this funny feeling, you know, again, factoring everything in, that he could be that. He could still be our manager when we open up the season next year. That's just next – I keep saying next year. I mean next season. So again, I just – you know, I find it an interesting topic, so that's why I put it up on the Facebook page. And, you know, and the comments are pretty interesting. I'm going to share some with you, David, and then we'll talk about it. Mark Hill said, I believe he will be, yes. This is, you know, again, the question was, do you think Kit Simons will be the full manager when they play their first match of the 2015-2016 season? Mark says yes. Steve Butter said, good as an assistant manager or coach, not manager. He just basically had some commentary on that. Stephen Whale said, I think we need a change. He had a positive effect over his first few games, but unfortunately it turned sour too quickly. We weren't active enough in the transfer window when the chance came, and now left with emergency transfers, which actually seems okay, to be fair. Hopefully we'll survive the drop and the club can rebuild, I hope. Our friend Roger Lewis, who you've met, David, I don't think so. I'll just leave it at that. I'll try to be a little bit quickly on this. Yavor Alexiev says, I hope he's gone long before that, okay? Alf Russell just said, effing hope not. I'm giving you the PG-rated version, David. Simon Haneed, I hope not. His clueless as a manager get curbs in. Jason Caddy said, I hope we move on, but keep Kidd as a youth coach where he excels. Okay. Simon James White says, I don't think that he can be blamed for everything, as taking this job was always going to be thankless, but I suspect that the club are already making preparations for a new manager. Kind of going what you're talking about, David. Talking to people at the game on Saturday, the general feeling is that his days are numbered, and that's kind of going on the wavelength that you've been talking about, David. Richard Whitney said, hopefully not. While the situation he was put found himself, it was definitely not the easiest. He's also often contributed to our problems. If we were steadily making progress as a team, at least parts of our play suggested that progress was imminent, then fair enough, keep him around. But our performances are McGathian in quality, and if we do make positive progress, they're quickly undermined by some atrocious attempts at football the next games. And he just keeps going on, so he says, hopefully not. Does not want him in charge. Grant Harris said, no, I think he will voluntarily step aside. David, I don't see Kit voluntarily stepping aside. Do you agree with that?
No, I can't. I can't see that either. I can understand the sentiment, but no, I don't think many managers would do that. Maybe Kevin Keegan. That's Kevin Keegan's forte, I think, and he's a good one for doing that. But no, I think Kit wants to demonstrate that he can do it, and he'll keep trying to do it until someone tells him he can't anymore.
Okay. Steve Watton then said, sack him now and give Kerbs the job until the end of the season. Russell Potter said, we need to have the squad partially rebuilt again. We can pretend that the players we have are good enough, but there are too many positions that need strengthening. Is Kit the best man to do that? Maybe not, but the lack of continuity has damaged the club over recent years, and that's That's going what I'm talking about, David, a little bit what I'm talking about. You know, if you keep changing the manager, you have no continuity. That's another part of this. I don't think it's that cut and dry, yes or no, even though, you know, I threw it up there, yes or no. I mean, there are many factors in a decision of changing the manager. Ian Walworth, hope he stays. Can't keep sacking and changing managers. Bit of stability. We shall see, though. Ben Reed, no. I think Kerberschley will be our manager at the start of next season. So, briefcase Ben chimes in. Kenneth Elsa said, I hope not. Lucy Alice Ward, no. If plan A goes badly, he never has a plan B. He just tries and gets us to hold on until halftime or the end of the game. Our co-host, Michael Connor, in recent years, we've become all too familiar with knee-jerk reactions in response to a team's inability to perform. We are where we are because of constant chopping, changing, and sacking of players, staff, and managers. We need to settle down. Keep Kit through his contract, or at least until Christmas. He will turn out all right. Give him the summer. Okay, so again, we're getting a little bit of both here, David, which is very interesting. Harvey Thane said, I always believed that Kit was a stopgap appointment until someone more qualified became available. The squad needs a complete rebuild, and if Shad Khan had Kit as his long-term manager, Kit would have been given funds to use in the January transfer window. That's actually a very good point. I don't think Kit can attract the type of players we need in the summer, and therefore I believe that we will start the 2015-2016 season with a manager who is proven in the two top tiers of English football. I would like to see Kit stay at the club. Looking at the academy again, as I think he's perfect in that position. Again, that was Harvey Thane. Very, very interesting take by Harvey. Paul Watkins, flipping hope not if there's a God. Okay, and listen, David, I could keep going on because there are so many comments on there. I'm just going to read a couple more because this really has touched the nerve with many supporters. Honestly, Ben Weeks, our College Talk co-host. Doubted, to be honest. Think the Cons will be searching for Mr. Wright on their own, this time using stats and the like, rather than following McIntosh's advice or the five-man panel. Okay, and finally, I'll just leave it with our friend Anthea Evans. Sadly, I think he will go. Remember, Kit is a person doing his best in a tough job. Maybe he needed to learn the manager role at a lower level with less pressure and where he hadn't inherited a total mess. Kit, to me, seems a genuine guy, and has been a great asset to the club. To lose him completely would be yet another mistake for Fulham Football Club. I want to clarify. She said would yet be another mistake for Fulham Football Club. And again, like I said, David, I can keep going on and on. So many comments on this, but I want to get your thoughts because we got a little bit of both on this College Talk Facebook question.
Well, I wasn't counting, but I think the majority was saying he won't be here. That's their feeling. And it's not necessarily saying, okay, people aren't necessarily saying, I want him out, but people are saying that they don't think he'll be here based on the fact that someone will make that decision. And, you know, Mike O'Connor makes an interesting point. He said about the chopping and changing.
Right.
And the reason we're in this mess because of chopping and changing. Well, yes, but also the reason we're in this mess is because of not chopping and changing, because we kept with the same ageing squad for too long. We kept with the same Martin Yole for too long, perhaps, as well.
You know, correct.
So it's kind of...
No, you're right about that,
one
David.
Extreme, it's gone from one extreme to the other, hasn't it? You know, we didn't make changes soon enough with the playing staff or maybe the management, and then we've been trying to play catch-up, and it's just two wrongs not making a right, I guess. But I don't think Kit can stay, really, because we need to make a dramatic change in fortunes. And, you know, this season has been almost worse. Well, it probably has been worse than last season in a way because, you know, in the Premier League, it's always going to be tough. And we knew with the squad we had it was going to be tough. But this year we actually had some expectations that we would, you know, with the money, the backing we have and supposedly the players we have, and it's just been worse. I mean, it really has been worse. We've been beaten at home by lower teams, supposedly, and conceded a lot of goals. And you used the word embarrassing the other day. It is embarrassing, really, when you look at it. It wasn't embarrassing solely for Brentford because, okay, it's embarrassing that we've fallen to that level, but it's just, you know, you've become oblivious to it almost. It's you know, we've come used to these defeats, you know, at home as well, and it's, so I think there has to be some dramatic change in, and the nub of the matter is that, you know, Kit doesn't have that experience, unfortunately, or the connections to bring in the right people. You need someone maybe outside the box. I mean, you know, Roy Hodgson, he was an underwhelming signing when he came in, and he started bringing in random people from Europe, you know, the Hangelands, we'd never really heard of, had we? And other people as such. Eric Nevlin, people like this. And,
yeah.
And you know, they did it, it worked. And, you know, and Tigana, likewise, you know, he brought in a mixture of people. And again, he revolutionised it. And I think we're probably going to need someone like that, someone who can do something different.
Right.
And reboot us back into, like, the big time, hopefully. So, yeah, I mean, the question was, is he going to be manager next at the start of next season? You didn't.
Right.
You weren't actually asking what people said they wanted. You were asking what they thought would happen.
And exactly. Exactly.
People...
That's why. Because again, I'm telling you, this is what I think is going to happen. It's not what I want to happen. It's what I think is going to happen. Big difference.
Yeah, and I think I would imagine that the majority would also say they want that to happen the way things are, but. Certainly the majority think this is what's going to happen, because we've seen that Fulham are prepared to change their manager at fairly short notice now, even though they weren't before. And Phillips was given very little time. Okay, he didn't deserve it, I don't think. But I'm sorry, he didn't deserve to have more time. Not he didn't deserve to be sacked. Yeah? He didn't deserve to have more time.
Oh, no, he deserved to go.
Yeah, I'm, when you hear all the strange things coming out, most certainly. But Kit... Some of the things he says as well are worrying, and some of the things he does are worrying, and he just doesn't seem to be moving on. So I think he'll be gone as well.
Okay. Okay. Well, again, that you know, listen, it's an interesting topic. That's why I wanted to pose it this way. I didn't want to pose it, do you want Kit to be the manager? I wanted to get your opinion. Do you think he will be? I mean, do you think that Khan will keep him on? And I'm still leaning towards David. You know, again, I think these last six matches are huge for him. If they end strong, I definitely think he's going to be the manager. You know, if they end strong, if they don't, you know, you could very well be right. But again, part of the issue I have with this whole thing is that I'm just trying to think of it as being Mr. Khan, and what would he do? And I'm thinking, you know, he also has to think in the back of his mind, well, Kit really hasn't had his squad yet and is really looking forward to putting – together his squad in the summer. So that's where I'm going on this. I just have a feeling that he, you know, that Mr. Khan might think, okay, I'm going to give him this summer to build the squad, and then if he fails, I'm going to change him just like I did with McGath. So that's why I put it on the first match, and that's why I'm leading this way. But, you know, again, I think the results are also going to help the situation one way or another, David. You know, like I said, you know, if they end badly, if they barely get by, you know, it might go in more in the direction you're talking about. If they end strongly, it might go in the direction I'm talking about. So we'll see. You know, again, I'm not saying I want him to be the manager. I'm just saying this is what I think could happen. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about a more fun subject, David, because I was thinking about this. I really want to do an all-time starting 11, your all-time starting 11. I want to do that. And believe it or not, we're going to do that in the next show. But before we can get there, I wanted to do best four in the midfield. Okay, we've already done central midfield, so obviously include that in there. But I wanted to do four midfielders. So I put it on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. We got some interesting comments on it, so I'm going to go to you. The question is, who are the four best midfielders you have seen wear foam shirts? You know, again, this isn't like a duo or foursome, just four of the best midfielders you've seen, David.
This is hard, you know, this is very hard.
But that's what makes it fun, David. That's what makes it fun.
Yeah, no, it's right, but I think I might have to cheat on this one a little bit, you know.
Okay.
I may have to cheat because, I said, obviously, I've had too much chocolate, so it's back to religion now. And you cannot... you cannot do this without mentioning the God, you know. You cannot do this without mentioning Johnny Haynes. Now, I didn't see him play. I'm unfortunately too young, but it would be criminal for him not to be included in this. Okay, I haven't seen him, but we all know what a legend he was. You know, he was the David Beckham of his day. He could pass. He could put the ball on the sixpence. So I think you have to include Johnny Haynes in this, whether or not you saw him play, just because his reputation is so large, you know.
Sure.
So I didn't see him play, so I'm cheating, and that gives me one less to think about, but I've got to have him in there.
Okay.
So also, I mean, obviously, if you're mentioning God, I think you have to give a little bit of a mention to Jesus as well, and obviously remember today is the day that Jonathan Greening rose from the dead again, wasn't it, I think? And he was a great player for us, Jonathan Greening. I did actually send him a tweet to say, you know, how are you, have you risen yet? But he didn't reply.
David. Jonathan Greening?
Cross.
Come on, let's go.
I assume he was cross. He was cross. Or maybe worse than cross, maybe I'm going to get crucified later. But anyway, enough of that.
Okay,
Ross,
enough of the kidding around. Give me your four. You already said Johnny Haynes.
No, Johnny Haynes, seriously. I did like Jonathan Greening for his cult status, but no, he's not going to be one of my four. In my time, the three that I have seen, I think you're going to have to mention Alan Mullery. I think he's going to have to be in there as well.
Okay.
And when I look at these things, it's not just about who is the best player, but it's also, again, the best servant to the club, you know, people who have had a long history. You know, you could say Mohamedou Diarra was a brilliant midfielder, one of the best we saw, because he was a Real Madrid player. He was a class player. But
right.
For me, he just didn't play long enough for Fulham to consider someone like that, you know. I mean, he could have been great. And the same kind of goes for Moussa Dembélé. He had a great run in midfield, but was he here long enough? You know, the first Moussa Dembélé, that is, of course.
Right.
You know, but certainly Alan Mullery, you know, he was here in two long spells. He led us to the final of the Cup in 75. You know, it was a bit, that year was a bit of a, it had a mirrors really of the Europa League run in a way. We beat all the hard teams along the way. And then West Ham, who we'd already beaten that season in the League Cup, we did a Fulhamish defeat in the final really. So it kind of was a bit like the Europa League. But, you know, the run to the final was fantastic. You know, we beat Everton at Goodison Park, and we never beat Everton at Goodison Park, ever, really. And we beat, you know, other teams. We beat Birmingham, who were a league above us in the semi-final. And, you know, so Alan Mullery certainly has got to be in there. And I think in the same vein, then you have to include Danny Murphy as well, because he was, although he was later in his career, and people thought, oh, well, maybe he's passed it and he's come here for an easy ride, he was fantastic, and he was an integral part of, you know, Roy's team, the team that got to the final, and he was a linchpin in that side that, you know, we did well in the Premier League. You know, everything
right.
came through him, really. You know, he knew how to play the ball and, you know, how to use the ball. And I think you've got to go a long way to find someone really who offered a lot, so much to Fulham, really, in terms of being a captain. He could tackle. He could pass. He used the ball well. He held the team together. So, Mullery, Murphy, Johnny Haynes. I haven't got much width here, have I? So maybe I should try and find someone wider. That's a hard one. That's a hard one then, isn't it? To find someone with width. For me, I think I'm going to... I don't know if it's outside the box, this one, or not, but I'm going to pick Ray Houghton, because he came to Fulham on a free transfer from West Ham.
Someone has mentioned him, by the way.
Oh, have they? Yeah,
yes.
I mean, I'm just trying to think of someone who's maybe a little bit, who plays a wider role. And he came to Fulham because he couldn't get in the West Ham team, I think, because of Alan Devonshire. And he came as a free transfer. And he's going to be, you know, one of the best free transfers you've ever seen. He came into the Fulham team, and he was fantastic. He linked well, and we had a good team at that point. And it's, you know, you can't go without mentioning the other people in midfield. Ray Lewington, again, fantastic battler. Robert Wilson, who, you know, we've had on the show
yep.
and done some great stuff. Sean O'Driscoll, unsung hero on the other side. Now, of course, England under 19 manager, I think, isn't he? And they really complemented each other really well. But Ray Houghton, he really had something. And, you know, he came in and he scored some great goals and he linked up really well. And, of course, he went on to bigger, better things, you know, with Liverpool eventually and was recognised with Republic of Ireland, which was another... It was a crime in a way because he was born in Scotland and Scotland didn't want him. So he went to play for Ireland, I think, because he had an Irish mum or Irish relative or something. And, you know, he had a great international career as well. So, yeah, I think that would give me a bit of balance there. We have Murphy, Houghton, Mullery and Haynes.
Okay, good stuff, David. And listen, you know, very interesting take here. And, you know, again, I'm going to be sharing what the Fulham supporters had to say. You know, it's funny because you're talking about Wythe and one player that came to mind and someone mentioned him. I don't know if I put him in my all-time Final Four, but Damien Duff. Someone mentioned Damien Duff. What are your thoughts about Damien Duff being involved in an all-time four?
I think he would have to be close there as well because, again, he was like someone who was towards the end of his career, so seemingly he came to Fulham. It didn't really work for him at Newcastle.
He was past his prime.
And yeah, I thought he did really well, and he was also part of that successful team. But
yes.
He, as I said before, he seemed to work best when Zamora was on his game because he
yes.
it worked really well for him that support, you know, he had his little link-up play with Zamora and stuff. But he also was, you know, he was useful for getting crosses in, and people like Dempsey benefited from him because Dempsey was quite good attacking the ball at the far post.
Yep.
I certainly think Damien Duff was, well, you know, remember, the other team in Fulham paid a lot of money for him, didn't they, at some point?
I am aware of that, David. I am aware of that.
So, yeah, no,
I just wanted to mention, and I know I just said past his prime. It doesn't mean that again, he wasn't a very good player for Fulham Football Club. He was. Again, he wasn't the player that he was prior. You know, again, he was just a little bit older in age, you know, similar to Danny Murphy. Doesn't mean that he wasn't a really great player. He was an excellent player, I thought, for Fulham Football Club, Damien Duff, along with Danny Murphy. But again, just interesting names to mention, and I'm going to go through them, David. I want to get your thoughts because you've already mentioned a good amount of them. Let's start with the comments from the Cutters Talk Facebook page with Colin Forknall. He said, "My opinion, it would go to Dempsey, Dembele, Belgian Moussa, Malbranche, and Simon Morgan." Tom O'Sullivan said Dempsey, Murphy, Dembele, Duff. Mark Hill said Sean Davis, Lee Clark, Moussa, Dembele, Danny Murphy. Roger Lewis. Now, Roger goes pretty far back here, and we'll definitely be touching on the name that you mentioned, David. Alan Mullery, excuse me. Can't even say Alan Mullery. I'm sorry, Alan. Danny Murphy, Bobby Robson, and Jimmy Torrance. James Crashaw said Murphy, Duff, Davis, Bobby Diop. And I probably said that wrong, sorry. Graham Piper, Simon Morgan, Steve Malbranche, Lee Clark, and Danny Murphy. Nicky said Jop, and I probably said that wrong again. Steve, Danny, and Clark. Reg Hall said Mullery. Why can I not say Al Mullery? What is wrong with me? Sloth, Murphy, Mullery. Mullery. Okay, I can't do
Mullery.
It. Yeah, okay,
Mullery.
Stop it, David.
Mullery.
Alan Hammersley. Haynes, Murphy, Bobby Robson, and Steed. Brendan Cronin. Murphy, Dembele, Malbranche, and Jop. Stephen O'Keefe. Murphy, Dembele, Malbranche, Houghton. But been other good first, does Dempsey count as midfielder? Also, Bolmorte, more wide man, also like Bloomington and O'Driscoll. Best and Marsh were past it, been going since 77. Okay. Stephen O'Keefe, yeah, also like Clark and Sean Davis, from what others put. So he wanted to chime in on that as well. So we got a good amount of different names here. Okay, this one's interesting. Michael New, Dejega, Dembele, Dempsey, and Duff. The four Ds. Graham Kerr, Murphy, Malbranche, Clark. First time I've heard this name in a long time. Bullard. Michael Dowling. Haynes, Mullery. Said it right this time, or I probably said it wrong. Murphy, Dembele, David Harris. Again, another Houghton, David. You'll be happy with that. Murphy, Dembele, and Steed. Dean Rozier, Dempsey, Lee Clark, Dembele, Bolmorte, Kevin James, Murphy, Dembele, Malbranche, Mullery, Nick Lawrence, same as Kevin James. And Eitan Redderb, says Murphy, Dempsey, Musa, and Duff. Okay, David, we have so many different names. What are your thoughts about what the Fulham supporters had to say about their top four in the midfield?
Well, so several of them would be ones that also I was considering. I mean, Boa Morte was wonderful, but I actually prefer him more as a forward. So I think of him more as a forward than a midfielder, although he did play there. Steed, you know, Steed was a bit of an enigma. He was a great player, but there's just a slight... The Brian Ruiz is about him, you know. There was a bit of inconsistency. He was supposedly like a set-piece specialist, but again, his free kicks weren't good enough and his corners weren't good enough, and it used to be frustrating. We used to have, you know, back then even, failing to beat the near men, the first man at the near post again. But he was a great player, as was the guy he kind of superseded, which was Lee Clark. He did a great job for us as well. And although he lacked a bit of pace, he seemed to make up for it other ways. So you've got to consider Lee Clark in there. He had a great run. Unfortunately, you know, he suffered with injury and missed a lot of football at one point. Steed most certainly as well. I don't think Papa Bouba Diop, he was more of a cult figure, a bit like Jonathan Greening probably. He scored a great goal against Man United and had a, you know, an interesting sort of time at Fulham, but I don't think he did it over a long enough period or was consistent enough. Simon Morgan, I heard a couple of Simon Morgans. He was predominantly a central defender or right back. I do remember him playing in midfield a couple of times, but I wouldn't consider him as a midfielder. Who else have we got who I haven't mentioned yet? There's obviously Bobby Robson, I didn't see him play, but yeah, he was a great player as well. I did hear there were a few Mulleries and Murphys and Johnny Haynes.
Yep.
So in the main, there seems to be general agreement. Again, it's down to a lot of our fans, obviously, have only been going for the last few years. So
right.
They're going to be looking at the more modern names. Dempsey's an interesting one, again, because, you know, I suppose in some ways he's been one of our best midfield players, but he was someone who played also as a forward, and even when he was in midfield, he kind of had this unique role, but you'd have to consider him as well for what he did. Really, I don't know. I don't think if anyone was in there was too ridiculous, you know. I think you could argue a case for a lot of them.
Okay, very good. Very good, David. And listen, I've really enjoyed doing this. And, it's funny. I haven't shared mine. So I'm going to share mine. And I'm just going to do this off the top of my head. You know, again, this is since I've been following. So we're talking 2007. So for me, it would probably be Dempsey. It would have to be Danny Murphy. I'm going to throw Damien Duff in there. And let's see, who would be – I'd probably have to say Moussa Dembele. So, again, those would be the four for me. But, again, it also deals with a period of time because that's when I started watching Fulham Football Club. That's why I wanted it to be, you know, all time for each individual person as long as they've been watching the team, you know, because that way we open it up more. I didn't want to limit it to modern times. I wanted it to open up to all times. So that's why, you know, again, it's very interesting to talk about, and I enjoy talking about it, David. And I do want to mention this, that on our next show, I've already said this, on our next show, we are going to do an all-time Fulham starting 11. This is on Thursday, not the post-match show. This will be the preview of the Wigan match. You will be on that show along with our buddy Mike Gregg, and I look forward to you sharing your all-time starting 11. That should be fun. And getting Mike's as well. So that should be interesting. Because now we've done all the positions. Now it's about an all-time starting 11 for Fulham Football Club. It should be fun, David. Yeah. I'm looking forward to doing that with you.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to pick Alan Mullery in there anyway. Yeah, so I've got a new one to work on now. We don't have to just do Norwich every week, isn't it? We could do Alan Mullery as well, yeah?
Yeah, I know. I honestly can't say it. You know, I can't say it. I tried. I tried, David. I tried hard, but I actually couldn't.
Like you've got too much chocolate stuck in your teeth or whatever. You need to put your other teeth in or something. Yeah.
Oh, good stuff, though. Fun show, as always, David. Fun show doing this with you. And again, like I said, we kind of really talked about a controversial subject, talking about controversy, talking about the whole situation with with Kit. And again, you know, if you're just chiming in or listening right now, you know, The question wasn't do you want Kit to be the phone manager? It was, do you think he will be? And I think that's a very interesting topic because I'm leaning towards, I think he might be, you know, for several reasons. And David, you're going on the other side. You think that they need to make the change, and they will. So you're going with the idea that they will change. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. I think that I don't think it's just cut and dry. I don't. That's why I wanted to really discuss that. All right, David. For time reasons, we will have, you know, obviously a little bit of a shorter show. But if you want to dial back in, feel free to, and I'll start setting everything up to preview Charlton.
That's fine. I see our resident heckler has chimed in now, and he actually says that Simon Morgan was best in midfield for us, he says. So I don't remember that, actually, Mike. I remember him being rampaging at right back. I actually told him he was a rampaging right back, and he gave me a very funny look, I remember, Simon Morgan. But, yeah, no, I do remember he had a spell in midfield, but I don't remember him as being prolific. But, you know, maybe my memory's fading with time. But on that note, I'll dial back in, and I'll be back in a sec.
Okay. And David will be dialing right back in. Then we'll be starting our preview of the Charlton match. And while I wait for Dave, I just want to mention a couple things. You know, again, today has been a very interesting day for Fulham Football Club. Derby County actually beat Wigan. I was following that via Twitter, you know, just double-checking to see what was going on. And Derby County actually got a 2-0 victory. That went in Fulham's favor today, so that's a good thing. On the bad side is that Rotherham did win their match against Brighton and Hove Albion, so that actually hurts Fulham. And Fulham are now in 21st. Those are two results. One went in Fulham's favor. The other one did not, David. Before we talk about Charlton, anything stand out to you from the matches today, David?
Well, I was still thinking about Mike Gregg, and did you see his pictures? A very slim young Mike Gregg playing on the cottage.
No.
So maybe we should consider Mike for one of those midfield positions. You know, you've got to have a look back through Mike's pictures. He was very young and slim there, playing in a match between, I think it was the 2/5 people and the Thames Bank Travellers. But nice legs, Mike, anyway, for that one. So, yeah.
Okay.
But I'm glad, obviously, our friend Andy Buckley-Taylor's happy today because his Derby team have beat Wigan, which is a big, big result for us. I mean, had Wigan won that one,
that would have really put the pressure on.
The cat among the pigeons, yeah. Obviously, Rotherham beating Brighton means that we're back into that sort of spot again. And I think you can't mention these things without sort of shedding a tear for Blackpool as well, really. You know, it's awful what's happened to them, and they make us look organised and efficient, I think, really. They've had a really terrible time up there, allegedly, of course. Let's not libel ourselves on the show, but, you know, there's lots of bad stories about the owners and stuff you hear about and things, and mismanagement at the club. And it's a terrible shame for them, and also for Lee Clark, of course, an old Fulham favourite that we just talked about a minute ago.
Yep.
He went there to try and save them. He wasn't able. So, you know, they were a Premier League team as well, albeit for a short time, not so long ago. And it just shows you, you know, how you can fall from grace and no one is guaranteed a place in any league, not really. And, you know, how we have to make sure that we get our own house in order because we don't want ourselves to go like that. So I feel sorry for their fans, though, and I don't know how it's going to pan out for the rest of the season. But obviously when we go there, they're going to have, on one hand, nothing to play for, but nothing to lose either. So who knows what will happen. We may need the points. They won't, but doesn't mean that it's going to be a foregone conclusion. But anyway, otherwise, yeah, I mean, it's in our hands, isn't it? You know, that tomorrow, and we can talk about Charlton. Obviously, I'm not very confident, to be honest with you. I don't know if you follow Ian Abraham from TalkSport, do you, Russ?
I do follow him. I do follow Ian.
Yeah, he is our unlucky mascot, unfortunately. Every time he goes, we lose.
Every time.
And he's going tomorrow. I've already had a chat with him this morning. And he's going tomorrow. He was there, of course, against Brentford. I don't know if you've seen me discussing this with him, but yeah, he's going to be at the match.
I actually did, David. You know, he seems like a great guy, and but unfortunately he's been our unlucky charm, I guess you could say.
Yeah. No, well, the thing is, we look after him so well. I mean, I'm sure if you see his pictures, he loves his food. I think he never has to make himself a meal, you know. He eats out at football matches every day, and you know, he's of a generous disposition, let's say. He's ample. He's amply built, anyway, yeah?
Yeah.
He obviously enjoys his food. And he has said, to the compliment of Fulham, that, you know, our food is one of the best, if not the best, in the Championship, the hospitality we provide. The trouble is, we're just being too damn nice to him, aren't we? I mean, maybe if we just gave him a packet of curled-up old sandwiches or something, you know, maybe he wouldn't come so often. But I know even Sarah makes him cakes and everything as well.
I was going to say, doesn't Sarah make him a cake every time or something?
She does. She's always making him cakes, and he keeps coming back, and we keep losing. So, I mean, you know, in all honesty, can he not just stay away for, you know, a few matches? But unfortunately, he's going to be there at the Valley tomorrow night. And I'm just dreading he's going to turn up on Friday for the Wigan match as well.
Well, David, listen, talk about Wigan. I'm going to share this real quickly with you. We have some breaking news. Again, according to Sky Sport News headquarters, again, I'm seeing the Twitter account. Someone tweeted to me, Wigan have sacked Malky Mackay.
Yeah, it's on BBC as well.
Okay, so that's breaking news. And believe it or not, that's a little worrisome, because we know about the bounce after you lose a manager, I'm sorry, so... So that's a little worrying about Friday. I got to be honest with you. I saw that. I was like, that's actually not good news. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it on Thursday, my friend. But let's do this. Let's now go in and talk about Charlton Athletic. And you know, I watched a couple of videos of them. Did a little research on them. You know, again, we did play them earlier in the season. We beat them 3-0. But they're a different team. You know, they've changed managers since then. They are currently 11th. They have 13 wins. They have 15 draws. They've only lost 12. They have scored 49. They've given up 52 for a goal differential of -3, and they're on 57 points. They're in comfortable standing, as you could say, 11th. Okay, Fulham are now 21st. Like I said, things are updated. They are 21st. Fulham have 12 wins, 7 draws, 21 losses. Yes, I'll repeat that, 21 losses. We've scored 51 goals. David, we've given up 72 for -21, and we are on 43 points. Okay, and they do play a 4-4-2. Let's see, they have won 4 and lost 2 in their last 6. However, they recently lost 2-1 to Millwall, but like I mentioned, David, they played a good chunk of that match with 10 men, but they did lose 2-1. Okay. Their leading scorer is Igor. I am going to butcher this name. Vitakele. I probably said that wrong. He scored 11 goals. Johan Gudmundsson has scored 8 goals. He's an attacking midfielder. Those are their two leading goal scorers. And like I mentioned, back in October, Fulham beat Charlton 3-0 at Craven Cottage. At the time, the manager was Bob Peters, but he was replaced during the season by Guy Luzon. He is the current manager. And they are, like I said, they are in decent standing, having a decent run of form. All right, David, going into this match, you already said you're not feeling good about this match. What are your thoughts about Charlton?
Well, Charlton, of course, they had an awful time last year, and this year they were doing really well. They came to the Cottage riding high, and this was, I think, the only time on a Friday night we've actually won anything on the Sky cameras.
Yep.
Obviously, Ian Abrahams wasn't there that day. Well, he wasn't, because they've lost every game. So maybe he had a better offer. But yeah, I think that's the only time we actually have won on a Friday under Sky. So and that was a great result for us, if you remember. I mean, it was, you know, they were doing well, and that, after that, their seasons fell away, and it, you know, obviously led to the manager being sacked. And look at this. I mean, these managers are toppling. It has to have this kind of knock-on effect, you know. I mean, Shahid Khan or whatever, the powers that be will see this, that Wigan have sacked Malky Mackay. And I know Wigan are in a worse position, but you know, it probably makes it easier to sack your manager, doesn't it? Once someone else has moved, everyone will start to follow suit, and you'll see, I don't know, maybe Lee Clark will go as well. They'll say, well, we've been relegated now, so who knows what will happen. And you know, it does start sending jitters, I think. But for Charlton, you know, I think they're obviously going to want to put behind, you know, the revenge, some revenge on us from what happened at the cottage. And they'll see, they've been watching us against Brentford. They'll know what our fragilities are, I suppose. So I'm not too confident, to be honest with you. I know I'm not exactly Mr. Optimist. We know that. We've established that over the last year on Cottage Talk. But I tried to be optimistic for Brentford, you know, as did Mike. And we said that, yes, we could win it. But, you know, I'm not feeling too confident. I think that Charlton are going to go out there and they're going to smell like a wounded animal and going to be going for the kill.
Okay, David, that's a great way to start off our preview. You're already seeing the downside. Listen, this has been a difficult season. It's hard to be optimistic. It's hard to be me. Okay, it is. It's hard to be me. It's easy to be you right now. It's hard to be me. It's hard to be optimistic with everything going on. But what's funny about this, David, is it almost seems like every time we've counted them out, they've come up with a strange victory. And then when we think they're going to win, they end up getting creamed. So I'm actually a little bit more optimistic than you are because Fulham have been, you know, up and down. So maybe this is the up moment when we don't expect anything. You know, I honestly didn't expect anything at Huddersfield. And again, that was a crazy result. Everything had to go their way. Maybe things go our way tomorrow. But let's get into this. And we now have started with talking about just Charlton in general. Let's now talk about the ref. Have you done your homework on the ref?
The ref is Andy Madeley. We've had him before because I remember mentioning this before. He's one of two brothers. Him and Bobby are both refs. Bobby is a select group referee. He's been promoted to the Premier League. And most of the comment on the refereeing board is the fact that they got the wrong one, that Andy's actually the better one out of the two. And he should be promoted. And so I think he's another one like Simon Hooper, who's maybe in the spotlight, who we had on Friday to get promoted. So I'm hoping that he's going to do a good job for us. I mean, I think the ref was great on Friday, really, in the main. I thought he, you know, did the job pretty well. He let the game flow. He was as lenient as he could be. And I'm hoping, obviously, that we get another decent refereeing performance because the way things are at the moment, we need every bit of luck we can get. We don't need decisions going against us, our heads going down, anyone else to be sent off. So, yeah, let's hope that Andy Madeley carries on his promising career.
Okay, good. Good stuff, David. Good stuff. All right. Always like your information on the ref. Okay, David. What do Fulham need to do to win this match?
Well, I think we have now the defining tactic, or the defining statistic. I saw it on Twitter earlier. And
okay, what is it?
I'm only going on what someone has said, I haven't checked this out. But apparently, in the games we've scored first, we've gone on to win nearly all of them. I think there's only a couple of games where we haven't scored first where we haven't won. Maybe they're talking about the cottage, I don't know. I don't know if you saw that one earlier. So I think this is crucial. We've got to score first. Forget how we play, you know, who plays, where we play, whatever else they do, score first. Don't let the other team score first.
Okay. And we always say that. It's funny, Mike started started his analysis and said, obviously, Russ, it's scoring first. That was about the last match against Brentford. I do want to mention one thing about Brentford. I definitely want, you know, again, that's one result, David, that we didn't talk about today. Here's the difference right now between Fulham and Brentford, okay? And this is the irritating thing. Brentford were down 2-0. I don't know if you had a chance. Did you see this match, David?
Yeah, I was watching. I mean, it's the same in Bournemouth as well, obviously. We're down 2-0.
Right. This is a match where basically Brentford had the majority of the possession. They were in control of this match, but they found themselves down 2-0. And they ended up drawing 2-2 with the very last play of the match. They scored at the very end. And what I saw was a team that, you know, again, fighting for everything and not giving up. And, you know, again, I saw that and you know, again, they did not, you know, again, the luck did not go their way, David, you know, again, because of a situation where they were beat on the counter twice. You know, Nottingham Forest really had no business being up 2-0, but they were. But this team didn't give up. Whether I liked them or not, they didn't give up. I have to give him credit for fighting back to 2-2. And I thought about that. I thought, again, that's what we need from Fulham. Never give up, always going forward, and not let your heads drop. And I think that's, again, I'm not saying that the heads drop all the time at Fulham Football Club, David, especially like they did last year. But, again, they need that kind of determination, that commitment. We talk about that all the time. They need the commitment that no matter how bad it is, that they can come back or that they can win. And Brentford has that, and you have to give them credit. So I forgot to mention that earlier. I wanted to mention that to you. All right, David. Who's your key man? Now, interesting thing is that Scott Parker was out of the last match, apparently ill. I haven't heard anything. I don't know if you've heard anything about the possibility of his return. I hope he returns. And we do not know the situation with Nikolai Bodaroff, the fitness of him, and also who else went off injured, David?
Grimmer, of course, as well.
Oh, Jack Grimmer too. So keep that in mind. But who's your key man tomorrow?
Well, it would have to be the game for Scott Parker against his former team. He was really driven. Obviously, in the home match, he scored, didn't he, of course, for us at Craven Cottage. And he will want to, go out there against his old team and prove a point. I did read somewhere that he's been suffering from a tummy bug of some sort.
Okay.
I don't know how long these things take, and he's a doubt. But, again, this is just people on Twitter talking about it, saying that apparently Brian Ruiz is nowhere to be seen and Scott Parker's a doubt. Now, I don't know... Yeah, I think that's something to Brian Ruiz, to be honest with you. It's kind of, have we given up with him, or has he given up? Has he got? He's obviously not got an injury, has he? Because he's gone to the national team. He couldn't sit on a coach for a few hours, but he can sit on a plane for much longer. So I don't know what's happened to him. Maybe he's listened to the show too much, and I don't know. Maybe he's run off with Mimi. I haven't seen Mimi lately, actually, either. I don't know.
Oh, David.
We could assume that Brian Ruiz isn't around. Saying that he'll probably turn up again tomorrow. Just like if we can assume that we're going to get hammered, maybe you never know, something might happen. Because you're right, every time we try and put a bit of positive spin on it and say yes, we can win this game, look what happens. And then we go out and say Derby, we're going to get mullered here at home. It's going to be 4-5, 15-0, and we go and win it. So let's say we're going to be absolutely annihilated. And for all the Ruiz lovers, Ruiz is nowhere to be seen. He'll probably pop up and win it. But for me, it's got to be Scott Parker if he can play, because we missed him so much on Friday. We missed his, the organisation and closing down and everything of what their first two goals. And he's going to want to play against Charlton. So Scott Parker, obviously, if he's available.
Okay. And you know what, David? I totally agree with you. Let's go with the bad thought. If he's not available, who would be next in line to really be a key player in this match?
He'll probably end up being Bettinelli, because he'll have to save everything to keep
okay.
us in the game.
Okay, very good point by you, by the way.
I'm not sure who else will actually stop it, because I would say it's almost certain we're going to have a different defence once again. So, yeah.
Okay, very good there, Dave, very good. All right, let's get to it. Let's go to your starting 11. This is your starting 11. What we're going to do is this. We're going to do this twofold, because, again, it's just me and you. And no, Giannis, I'm going to ask you for your starting 11, and then I'm going to have you try to predict Kit's starting 11. But let's start with your starting 11.
Well, I think both myself and Kit are going to agree that it'll be Bettinelli in goal. As for the defence, I certainly want to see James Husband at left back again. I was quite impressed with what he did, so I assume he'll keep his place. I can't see any reason why not. Right back, it's going to either be Grimmer or Hoogland. Obviously, Kit preferred Grimmer on Friday, and as I say, Grimmer, if anything, was better defensively, and it's not just because Mike's listening, he actually was. But obviously, Grimmer came off as well at half time, so we may see Hoogland there. It's going to be one of those two. I mean, and this is me saying this. It's not what Kit would say.
Right.
There isn't really much choice there at the moment. So I would say Grimmer from what I saw. I'd rather have Grimmer. In the middle, I would still pick Bodaroff and Turner. But again, Bardoff's got to be a big doubt. He's got to be a very big doubt. So it would therefore be Turner and Byrne, I think, would be what we would be saying.
I have
that
a feeling it's going to be Turner and Byrne, David.
That's what I would be picking because, obviously,
yeah.
that's all we have left. We've got rid of Amabrieta now.
Yep.
And, obviously, Hutchinson is serving the second game of his ban. So it would be, again, I would say I would favour Bardoff and Turner, but it'll be Turner and Byrne otherwise. Midfield-wise, must be Scott Parker in there. It's got to be Scott Parker. The one that would have to make way would be Fofana, I think, which would mean... And it's going to be... This is what I wanted, basically what I wanted the other day. I'd have Parker with Guthrie in the middle. I would play Tunnicliffe on the right to offer some protection to whoever's at right back, and also, you know, to get, he does like to get forward, but he can get forward in a more orderly way there. Left midfield, I'd stick with Kaká. He was dangerous
yep.
the other day in times, and he could form a good partnership with Husband. Up front, it's a biggie. It's got to be Matt Smith. You know, it was
has
a massive booby on Friday.
Has to be
Matt Smith. And despite Mike not being very happy with him, it's got to be Ross McCormack as well, really, because it's nothing but he just works well with Smith, I think. I wouldn't be
yeah.
against Corley playing with Matt Smith, but I think, yeah, I want to have Ross McCormack there, most certainly.
Okay.
He knows Matt Smith's game, and they do have something together.
Listen, I totally agree with you, David. I forgot to mention one other tidbit about this match. Their right back is going to be out suspended for this match, which could make a small little difference here. Chris Solly is suspended for the match, and he did get a red card in the last match, so that's a little something to watch in this match. You know, that might be, I don't know, it might be something to possibly target. The fact that they're starting right back is not going to be in this match, so just keep that in mind. All right, David, what do you think Kit's going to do? I'm curious your thoughts on this. I know what you would do. What do you think Kit's going to do?
Well, that's obviously, you know, from what I said, my 4-4-2, which, I, you know, if it wasn't obvious, or 4-4-1-1, with Kaká wide and Husband on the left. And we did look good on the left, I think, against Brentford. That's where most of our attacking came from. So if
Absolutely.
They are missing a right back, if they are missing their right back or their first choice right back, then yeah, we want to be going down the left and at them. So
absolutely, that's why I think this is a key part of the. That's why I wanted to bring that up right now, David.
So what will Kit do? Well, Kit kind of did the same formation as I said on Friday, but he obviously picked Woodrow instead of
Smith.
So, I mean, I can't say anything but what I've said for what Kit should do, really, what Kit would do. I mean, otherwise you're just going to be, you know, I'm going to be making ridiculous statements like he's going to drop, I don't know, Bettinelli and play Hugo in goal or something. You know?
Let me ask you this, because, again, I tend to agree with you that your starting 11 should be very similar to his. But you brought up one player that, again, you think, you know, and I agree with you on this. I think Kaká should play. But what about Fofana? You know, again, if he plays this style, you know, again, you saw him, David. Is he wasted out on the wing if he plays a more wider role?
I think he was. I would have him on the bench. I would have him as someone to bring on. If you've got Parker and Guthrie in the central midfield, you've got two fairly similar players there.
Okay.
I think you could bring on Fofana and switch to the diamond if you had to, or you could replace one of those with Fofana if you wanted someone maybe with a bit of legs at the end if you want to push forward more. Certainly should be there on the bench, but I don't think in this sort of game we could start. I mean, if we're going to start Fofana, I would rather see him in the middle, to be honest with you. I think he would be out wide.
Okay.
I would have Tunnicliffe on the out wide and Fofana in the
right.
middle rather than the way they
right.
had
I
it.
See where you're I see where you're going on that. Okay. All
but
right.
Is Kit going to do something stupid and random? Is he going to bring back Hugo? Is he going to carry on with Corley again? Is Brian Ruiz going to come back from exile? I don't know. Is Stafelidis going to play? That'll be a Kit thing to do. He'll rest Husband.
Oh,
and play
no, 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 no. If that happens, he will lose me. He will. I will tell you this. He will officially lose me if Kostas Stafelidis is starting over Husband. That would
You know,
I agree with you on that. That should definitely not happen.
Because the thing is with Kit, he always seems to, there is a bit, this bingo element has been creeping into
there
it.
There is a little bit of it. You're right.
There's been these strange changes. Maybe Sean Kavanagh will suddenly come in, or I don't know what he will do. Because he took Kaká off for Kavanagh on Friday, which is a negative move, really. When you're chasing a game, it's a negative move to make. I know he likes Kavanagh. I know Kavanagh has some qualities. But Kaká, despite his, you know, perhaps his poor final ball, he was running at them and he was actually looking quite dangerous. It was one of his most dangerous appearances for a while, and yet he took him off. And I saw no obvious reason why he should come off. Like, he didn't seem to be tired. He didn't look to be carrying an injury or anything. It just was purely Kit opinion and tactics. And this is the sort of random things we have to do. I mean, you know, Brentford had two great central defenders, and yet, you know, he left Matt Smith out. And that's just poor planning, because as soon as he came on, it was obvious to me, to you, to everyone watching, even to Mike Gregg, I think it was obvious that it worked better. It worked better for that, even though, you know, we don't like necessarily that style of play, but it isn't just about that. It worked
right.
Better. He caused them problems. Not only was he winning the ball, they were conceding free kicks. You concede free kicks in around the box, you have chances to score goals. You know, it's the reverse of what we've been doing this season, you know, giving away corners and free kicks near the box. So, you know, that was very poor by Kit, very, very poor. And I really hope that he's learned from that or realised it didn't work. But who knows? This is the trouble, because he just brings out these random selections sometimes. And, you know, this is just an amateur show. We're having a bit of fun. We're just trying to say what we think's right. And, you know, 1,000 people could tell us why it's wrong and why it should be done differently. But to me, it makes sense, this sort of structured 4-4-1-1.
Right.
With a bit of width, which plays to the strengths of having Matt Smith in the team, but also with strength in central midfield, experience in central midfield as well in this case. I think the biggest factor is this is going to be the defence, though, because we know that there are, you know, two potential injuries in defence. So we could see Hoogland in there. We could see Dan Byrne in there. And how will Dan Byrne perform after all this time out?
That's a good point.
You know, we've had all these. When players are out of the team, there's always this clamour to get them back in the team, but it doesn't always come out. Look at, you know, what happened with Hoogland and Amabieta when they first came back. You know, it was a disaster, really. And Dan Byrne hasn't won me over, and he hasn't won a lot of others over. It's not his fault that we've been losing, remember, Dan Byrne. It's not his fault. He's been out of the team for a long time, and we've still been shipping goals. So, you know, it's like anything. It's like, you know, Brian Ruiz has been out of the team and we've still been rubbish. You know, you can't really pin this on certain players. And much as, you know, I don't think Dan Byrne has been good enough and I don't think Ruiz has been good enough, you can't pin a lot of it on them because they haven't been in the team and things have still been badly.
They've
been going badly. But I would imagine from Bodaroff's, the way he finished that game, he's going to be out, unfortunately. So, Dan Byrne, here is your chance, mate, to really, you know, really the proverbial is hitting the fan. It's your time to come in and be a hero, isn't it?
Absolutely, David. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, again, this could be a perfect opportunity for Dan Byrne. I don't know if you're hearing in the background, but they're actually cutting my lawn right now, so I'm trying to minimize the noise, David. I don't know if you're hearing it. Are you hearing it?
No, I don't, actually.
Okay, good. Good. Then again, it's just me because it's pretty loud. So I've actually had to move myself to another part of my office to try to get away from the window because it's extremely loud right now. But I'm going to share the predictions. First, I'm going to share the predictions from the Cutters Talk Facebook page. And they're very interesting. So we'll start with Tamer Rahman. He says, trying to be an optimistic as possible, hoping 1-1. William Kennedy said, happy with the draw. Sankey Gorgos, Charlton win 4-1. Colin Forknall, ideally we need a win to jump to 18th. So obviously Colin is hoping that we win, and so am I. Brendan Cronin, Charlton 3-1. Matt O'Fallon, Charlton 3-1. Stuart Lovett, I'll take a draw. John Mason, a draw. Everything crossed. Simon Haneed, kid out 1-1. Okay. Ben Reed, we'll lose 2-0. I will be there. Okay, Ben, maybe you can share your take, tweet us your take for the post-match show. Ian Walworth could sneak a win, no pressure of playing at home. Core vocal away support. I would take a draw if offered a plea. Been watching Law and Order. Okay, pretty funny. Joseph Byrne, don't care as long as kick goes. So I guess you're getting, I guess you're seeing that that some of the supporters, you know, I think of, I kind of done with Kit Simons. So, which is interesting. It just shows, you know, listen, it's all about results, David. If Fulham were still, you know, if they were winning and having a positive season, no one would be talking about Kit. It really is just about the results. I mean, that's what it is. It's a results-oriented game. I mean, it's all that matters, really. You know, we like watching attractive football, but when it comes down to it, do they win or do they lose? And people care about the results. It's the number one thing. All right. Of course, just as I do that, my screen goes blank, but I believe I saw our Cottage Talk co-host, and I do. Mike Gregg has predicted 2-2. John Schaefer, Fulham, Ohio. This is on Twitter now. Going negative here. Charlton 4, Fulham 0. Sorry. Billy Rodber, 4-1 to Charlton. Tom Williams finally says, leak 2 goals and score 1. So he's going for 2-1 Fulham loss. All right, David, it's on you.
The sad thing, unfortunately, sounds like a few people are hoping we lose so that Kit goes. And that's, you know, that's a very sad, desperate state of affairs to be in that situation. For me, I don't think it's about the team that Kit will pick or doesn't pick. I'm more worried about the moose factor, and I think Ian Abrahams is going to carry on his run, unfortunately. He's there to put the jinx on us, and I think it's going to be a 3-1 defeat, unfortunately. So let's hope I'm wrong, and, you know, just like the Derby match and something happens, and Moose sees his first victory, but I don't know.
Okay.
I don't see anything positive, not after the way we were humbled in the end by Brentford the other day. With the potential changes in the back four again, the unsettling in the back four, which doesn't help. And I know it's injury this time probably rather than tactics, but I think it's going to be difficult for us.
Well, it's going to be hard, David. And listen, you know, part of the problem here is that Fulham's lineup has been unsettled for such a long period of time. Again, they really haven't had a chance to gel. And we're talking about picking a pretty you know, fair starting 11 each and every match, and we just don't have that, and we don't have the continuity. And part of that is injury, part of that is trying to get the right mix. And, you know, again, we really haven't gotten the right mix the entire season. It could start with McGathick and go right on to Kit. You know, Kit's had his moments, but he's also had his bad moments. And I'm going to sound a little bit negative here, David, but I'm going to go with you. I'm going to say 3-1 to Charlton. I hate to say it. But the positive rust has been neutered for this match. I'm sorry.
You're a broken man, Russ.
I am. Maybe a little bit, David. Maybe a little bit. So
right,
I'm going to go.
Let's
hope we're both wrong.
That's right.
Let's hope we're both wrong. But I do agree with you. I think that they're going to lose 3-1, and I think everything is going to be about that. That Wigan match. The Wigan match is going to seem like the Super Bowl for me. You know, it's going to be this huge match where they can really put the distance and really clear this thing up. Again, it probably might need more than 3 points to make you fully safe, but if they beat Wigan on Friday, that's really going to put a huge nail in the coffin and make them much more comfortable. But if we're looking forward to this match, David, you know, again, maybe I'm a little bit of a broken man. I don't see them winning this match. I'm going with you. I'm agreeing with you, which is a scary thought. 3-1 to Charlton. I've come over to David's side, the dark side.
I'm going to get me doing a Darth Vader impression in a minute or something.
Well, it's funny because we are just about to finish up the show, so I it's funny we're talking about Darth Vader. I am going to mention this, that I am actually going on vacation. Yes, I'm going on vacation. A week from Wednesday, I will be in Southern California, in Anaheim. And David knows this. I'm going to, believe it or not, a Star Wars convention. My wife is actually working a booth at a Star Wars convention for her company. It's called the Star Wars Celebration in Anaheim, California. We are going out for the week. And in my place, hosting the show, will be Emilio Dinello. But, David, you will be there for one of the shows co-hosting. And I'm looking forward to you guys doing the show. I trust you guys incredibly. And thank you so much for doing this with Emilio.
I thought I was doing both, actually. Didn't we agree I was doing both? But never mind.
I don't remember, but I'll have to check the schedule. But anyways, yes, you mentioned Darth Vader, and I will actually, believe it or not, be at a Star Wars celebration, you know, in the middle of next week, which should be interesting, and I'll be handing over the reins of the show to you guys, and I trust you guys completely. So I will not be doing College Talk for two shows. That's going to be very strange for me, but it needs to be done. Obviously, I'm going to be with my family, so it needs to be done. But I'm putting it in very able hands with you guys, so I feel great that I can hand it off to you guys. But, David, before we go, any final thoughts on our show today?
Well, thankfully, Russ, I don't have to say to you that I am your father or anything like that. That would be very scary, wouldn't it?
Yes, David, considering we're the same age, yes.
Well, I'm a little bit older, but not that much older. But yeah,
not much older.
Let's
David,
end the
much.
Show on a light note because obviously it's been it's a bit of a depressing preview for tomorrow, and the signs aren't good, you know, with the defence and maybe Scotty Parker missing. That it could be a tough night for us, but you know, we've kept it light and cheerful best we can. And at the end of the day, it all comes down to Friday, really. I mean, whatever happens tomorrow, it comes down to Friday. It's in our hands on Friday. And at the end of the day, we'll talk about this on Thursday, but if we don't beat Wigan at home, then we only have ourselves to blame. We have it in our hands to make ourselves more or less safe. And it's all of course Rotherham as well.
Right. But honestly, if they beat Wigan, they are really in decent shape. It really, you know, again, there are going to be opportunities here, and I've said this. If they can't beat Wigan, Blackpool, and Rotherham, then we don't deserve to be in this division. I know you agree with me on that. So again, it's in their hands. It's in their hands. You know, again, they can help themselves out by getting a result tomorrow, but they can really do some damage of talking about relegation. And I'm totally, utterly disgusted that we're in April and we're talking about relegation. I want a season where we don't talk about relegation. And I'm hoping that it's next season. We're still in this division, going for promotion for next year. Like I predicted, David, I'll be coming to Craven Cottage, meeting you for the first time, watching a match where Fulham are promoted back to the Premier League. That's the dream. That's my prediction for next season. All right. Let's wrap up the show, because I know you already think I'm crazy. Before we go, just a reminder, you can download College Talk on iTunes and on the Stitcher Radio app, which is available on the iPhone, iPad, and the Android. Also, you can now listen to College Talk on the TuneIn app. Now, this is the recorded version. You can listen live on the TuneIn app. And the TuneIn app is available at most app stores for your mobile device. Well, that's it for the show. For David and myself, Russ Goldman, thank you again for listening to College Talk. Cheers, David.
See you. See you on Thursday, guys. Cheers.
Okay.
Boys and girls, come and come.